+49.
Bienvenidos to another edition of +49. I am Siri D'Arteaga, and we're bringing you today the latest stories, insights, and of course, a little thing called Ask a German. It is elections week in Germany, and by next Monday, we'll know which party will lead the country and what coalition possibilities lie ahead. With that in mind, we'll be diving into the Wahl-O-Mat. This is a digital tool helping voters navigate the political landscape. Also joining me today is Georgi. He is the co-founder of Loyi. This is a gamified loyalty platform working with major brands such as Deutsche Telekom, BMW, and Volksbank. We'll be exploring how companies are rethinking customer loyalty in a digital world, what it takes to build a business in Germany, and of course, Georgi's own expat journey. But before we jump into that, let's start with +49. On today's news update, let's take a look at Brandenburg's medical sector, where figures from the State Health Ministry reveal that one in five doctors practicing in Brandenburg is non-German. Of the 10,120 registered doctors, 18.9% do not hold German citizenship, with the largest groups coming from Syria, Russia, and Turkey. This marks a notable increase over the last decade. Yet, Germany still faces a severe healthcare worker shortage. Nationwide, nearly 47,000 vacancies in the healthcare sector remain unfilled due to a lack of qualified applicants. One major barrier for international medical professionals is the lengthy qualification recognition process. For EU, ECC, or Swiss citizen, it takes about 4 months to gain approval to practice in Germany. However, for non-EU doctors, the process can take up to 2 years due to bureaucratic delays and long waiting times for mandatory medical and language examinations. Many doctors express frustration, with some struggling with mental health due to the prolonged uncertainty of their professional future. As Germany faces increasing demand for medical professionals, there is a growing pressure on authorities to streamline the recognition process. And now turning to the automotive sector, Tesla has had a dramatic drop in sales in Germany. According to the Federal Motor Transport Authority, new Tesla registrations in January 2025 were down nearly 60% compared to the same period last year. This decline comes despite a 53.5% increase in sales of battery-powered electrical vehicles across Germany. The drop follows controversy surrounding Tesla CEO Elon Musk, who recently made inflammatory political statements during an Alternative für Deutschland conference. Musk's remarks urging Germans to move beyond their guilt for Nazism has been widely condemned. His comments, combined with a video appearance at Trump's inauguration celebration, have led to backlash across Europe, with Tesla sales also plummeting in Sweden, Norway, and the Netherlands. In fact, a Dutch survey found out that a third of Tesla's owners are now considering selling their cars due to what they call Tesla shame. That's it for today's top stories, but if you like to stay updated with major headlines in English every day, don't forget to subscribe to our daily newsletter at morningexpresso.de. If you're living in Germany, you have probably heard of the Wahl-O-Mat. It is a digital tool that helps voters navigate the political landscape by comparing their views with party platforms. But what exactly is it and how does voting actually work in Germany? Well, the Wahl-O-Mat is an interactive questionnaire developed by the Federal Agency for Civic Education. It presents voters with more than 30 statements on key political issues. Users can agree, disagree, or stay neutral, and at the end, they receive a breakdown showing which political parties align most closely with their responses. It is important to note that this isn't a voting recommendation. It's simply a guide to encourage informed decision-making. Hashtag efficiency. So, what are some of the hot topics in this year's Valomat? While the exact statements vary each election cycle, the 2025 edition is expected to cover major issues such as climate policies, economic challenges, immigration and integration, social welfare, and digitalization. This means voters will be asked about things like renewable energy, inflation, healthcare, pension, and data protection laws. Now, let's talk about how voting actually works in Germany. We already covered this, but considering at the end of this week we will have elections, it's kind of interesting to talk about it again. The system here is called mixed member proportional representation, and each voter has two votes. The first vote, or erste Stimme, is for a local candidate in their district. The candidate with the most votes win a direct seat in the Bundestag. The second vote, or Zweitstimme, is for a political party, and this determines how many seats that the party will get in the parliament. A party needs to at least 5% of the Zweitstimme, or 3 direct seats, to enter the Bundestag. Polling stations will be open on Sunday, February 23rd, and if you prefer, postal voting is also available. A couple of people actually go voting, and then they go to a brunch, so that's an idea for what you can do this Sunday. We are today with Georgi, but I'm just going to tell you Jorge because it's easier for me to say that Georgi. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
I love how you describe yourself. Georgi is a co-founder of Loyi, gamified loyalty platform for brands, working with Deutsche Telekom, BMW, Volksbanken, and etc. And you have been an expat for over 13 years in Berlin, and you can definitely share a thing or two about living here.
For sure.
I found that hilarious how you did it, because after 13 years, do you feel yourself a Berliner, for instance?
I heard from Berliners after 7 years you qualify for this, so I think I can call myself Berliner. But I think as most international people would have this feeling, usually have a feeling that you are not fully German, but you're also too German for your home country, right? So I have a feeling I'm somewhere in this middle part, but I love Berlin and I feel I'm fully integrated. Yeah,
you are actually also married to a German woman.
Correct. I'm happily married since 6 months now.
Congratulations on that. So there's still hope out there for those who are dating in the expat community.
Yes, Berlin is. Also, from my experience and from what I hear, it's not the easiest on singles. I hope that changes.
We hope that for everybody outside as well. But let's go to the part where you explain to us what gamification is and think me that I have absolutely no idea where it is. So maybe you can share your insights there.
Yeah, definitely. So in a nutshell, what we are doing, we are using gaming elements in non-gaming environments, like in loyalty programs. So the way you can imagine this, we implement different tactics like engaging people with small games or quizzes and streaks and quests and challenges. So they make progress and achieve certain things, and for that they get rewards. And we've been quite efficient doing that. So we can see that people, when they do this, they get much, much more engaged. So we see on average 40% more engagement with people compared to non-gamified loyalty programs. So, and looking at also younger audiences, I think it's quite typical that people love gaming. So we're trying to implement these latest trends and models into traditional programs.
So tell me a little bit about Loyi. How did it start it? When you started it, and how did you come up with this idea?
I founded Loyi together with my co-founder 3 years ago. I think the biggest trigger was that Berlin had such an influence on me that I always wanted to start my own company. And I always worked in Berlin in early stage startup scene. So that was a big inspiration for me. But also, I think the biggest trigger was one day from an airline, I received an email on my birthday and it said, hello, and then brackets customer 34Z9. Obviously, there was a mistake in the program. And I thought, okay, there could be a better way for brands to really, and this was a big brand, I'm not going to name it. There should be really a better way to engage your customers, and it should be go beyond this transactional, buy this and we give you something, right? Nobody wants another punch card. People want experiences. And I think that was the really kick. And looking back, that was the right decision because our experiences were perfect for that. But that was the tipping point, I think, where we said, that's it. We are doing now our own thing. We can do better than this.
Let's go real quick to a music break. And when we come back, let's hear about your thoughts on life in Germany. We're back with Georgie, who already told us that his favorite music is techno. Or at least he wanted to hear some techno before we went to the music break.
I think in Berlin, it's impossible not to be exposed to techno. I'm more on the house music, but definitely electronic music side. But yes, techno in Berlin is everywhere. Regarding life in Berlin, I think for newcomers, it's extremely welcoming city because if I'm not mistaken, it's one of the very few big European cities where you don't need the local language to get started, right? And that was case for me. So when I came here, I didn't even know how to say beer in German, which is almost the same, but still, I had no clue. So I think German or Berlin in this case gives a lot of opportunities for the newcomers besides the music and culture, etc. So that's something I really, really appreciate in Berlin. I do, however, recommend everybody that if you are staying in Berlin, please do yourself a favor and learn German. Even though we know life is too short to learn German, but please give it a try. And if you want, I can share example how I did, how I failed.
Please.
Yeah, for me, basically, maybe one step back. I'm from Georgia, and there we speak Georgian language. And in our language, we don't have article and we don't have genders. So for me, this whole there, the, das, it's literally I had to wrap my head around, okay, in English, you do have articles, but not the genders, right, for each word. So I was so frustrated at some point that I was really looking for shortcuts to really master all the articles. And then I found out something fascinating. So every word that ends with chen in German, it's das. And you can use this to every word just to make it sound cuter. So I was so dedicated to speak German. I went out there and I was talking to people like, when is the Buschen coming and so on. And my friends were, they were annoyed in 2 days. They said, Georgie, you really have to stop this. But grammatically, it was correct, you know. So I think my biggest learning with this was you just have to get out there and start talking, you know. So don't let yourself get paralyzed by thinking, oh, what do I need to say? As long as you communicate your message and other people understand, I think that's the clue. And I really wish I applied this earlier because I would just freeze and think, okay, how do I structure German sentence? And then you're lost.
I love this. I definitely love this. One of the key questions that I wanted to ask you, because as you stated before, you're married to a German woman, and which is, again, for a lot of people who are still single, kind of like, oh, that does happen. I mean, not long ago, like 2 days or 3 days ago, Tarsh Shao got a big news saying that nobody's getting married anymore. And, you know, we're not having any faith in love, but that's not the point. The point is, how has she helped in you understanding Germany and not only like the typical don't walk if the red light is there, but also like, you know, the small Selbstverständlichkeiten?
Yeah, that there are so many this cultural small details, right? And also, once I got to know her family, obviously you learn these traditions that as an expat, you may not be exposed, right? So for example, you go to, within their family, we went to someone's German wedding, and that was for me, completely different experience, right? So this kind of thing. But on the other hand, my wife is quite international. So she lived in 5 different countries. And we, in the beginning, were speaking a lot of English. So that was for me very, very easy to get on the same level, on the eye level, and then step by step, we moved to German. So that was a good onboarding, let's put it this way.
There's one thing that, of course, people who are not seeing us cannot see. But you're wearing your ring on your right hand.
Correct. Yes.
Which is very different than from the Germans. The Germans normally have it on the left hand.
Yes. So that's the thing for Georgians. Men in Georgia wear it on the right thing. And maybe another small different thing. In Georgia, women do not change their last name after getting married. So yes, I think it's beautiful. All these small differences. Because a lot of things, at times, I think we think things the way we understand they are this way. And then you get exposed to completely different tradition. And then you think to yourself, oh, okay, there's actually people doing same thing that I never thought about in a different way. So I think that's the beauty of it.
It is, definitely. And this is one of the reasons why we have this project on one side, to try to explain things that we believe that are normal. And once we come out from our countries, it's just like, oh, so not the whole entire world has their rings on the right side. And in Mexico and Latin America, and I think even the United States and almost in every other country in the world, the rings go on the right side, because in theory, the heart vein goes from the right side into your heart. It does not mean that the Germans are heartless and that's why they use it on the left side.
I think for Germans, it decreases your productivity because you can't work with your mouse properly. You know, they put it on the left. I don't know.
Maybe it is a productivity thing. One thing that I got from someone who was doing this whole in multicultural science, they think that one of the reasons why it is on the left side for the Germans, it's because when they shake hands, they can feel if they are married. It's kind of like a statement, like, hi, I'm married.
Oh, wow. Okay. I haven't thought of this. Interesting.
Yeah. So you can feel it. Which, as the other side, you're always looking on the right side. So, of course, as a not married person trying to look into, you have, as an international person who's not married, you're always looking at both hands, like going like, okay, which one is the one that I was supposed to be looking at?
That's always the question for singles, right? You don't know.
Yeah, but it is kind of like this little small things that, this is the way that life opens up when you move to another country.
Yes. And I think that's a perfect answer to what you asked before, this Selbstständigkeit. No, just Selbstverständlichkeit. So you really understand that everybody has their own traditions, their own ways. So once you expand your horizon, you can accept different things much, much more easier, right? So, and I think that's the beauty of Berlin. Once you get into this international mindset, you will become much more acceptable to many different things that before you didn't even know existed, right? And I think that's the beauty of learning from each other and discovering the best part of all the cultures.
So we're back to our last segment with Jordi. How did you got to the idea of coming to Germany?
So I was doing my bachelor's back in Georgia. And one of our professors suggested that I apply for Berlin School of Economics and Law here in Germany, because they had very strong marketing masters. And without thinking twice, I did so. And we all know the huge benefit of German system, that it's free even for foreigners, which is still mind-boggling for me. And I applied and I got approval. And within 2 weeks, I was here. So half of my friends and circle didn't even know that I was in Berlin. So that happened very, very fast. I didn't even have time to think it properly. But that was one of the best decisions I made. So that was very unplanned. That's why I know German prior skills. It's been quite a ride, but I still find the city very exciting. And yeah, I still believe that was the great decision.
It's so refreshing to hear this other part of how welcoming Berlin can be, or how welcoming Germany can be, especially in a moment where we feel exactly the other way. But at the end of the day, I think we all feel somehow welcome. And I love that. That's one of the reasons why I really love this word, Wahlheimat, because it says this is the city that we chose, and we're making ourselves feel welcome here.
Absolutely.
How was your experience for you regarding starting your own business?
There comes the big word, bureaucracy, right? So there are several steps that you have to follow. But on the other side, if you follow all the steps, which you can find out, then the process can be fine, right? It can take longer sometimes than you expect, but I think most people, where they make mistake, is they don't spend any time researching what is actually required. And once you have this checklist and you go through checklist, then things work, right? So, and on the other hand, in Berlin, you have a lot of accelerators and grants and opportunities for fresh founders. And I think without this support in the beginning, I think it would have been much, much harder for us. So I think the ecosystem is pretty strong and network is pretty strong. So you can, as a new founder, you can learn a lot very fast from others instead of just all the time doing by yourself and learning by doing, which you can do, but it will cost you more time.
At the end of the day, it's basically here very straightforward. If you do this, you will at some point get here. So just follow the steps.
Yeah, correct. And I think also as someone who moved to Germany, I really appreciate, or let's put it this way, you have the safety net, right? So if you go as a full-time founder, and for whatever reason that doesn't work out, there's the safety net. So you make sure you don't end up on the streets like in other countries, this could be the case. So I think that's a pretty good opportunity to at least give it a try, give it a go. And if that doesn't work out, you can always go back to your regular job or other career step, right? So I think that's quite motivating and a big opportunity that I believe a lot of people do not still appreciate because they still have not thought about it because it's given. But I think in many countries, you don't have this simply, right? So if you don't work, then you may end up on streets, right? So yeah, so I think the environment is pretty friendly. And I would love to encourage everyone who even thought at least once to give it a shot. You will you will regret because it's very hard. But if you don't do it, you will regret even more because that's such a journey.
Georgie, it has been such a pleasure talking with you. Before we go, tell us where we can find your company. If at some point you're looking for people, who are you looking for? So maybe someone who's hearing us would like to apply.
Sure. The easiest would be our website. It's loyi.io, so loyi.io. Or you just feel free to find me on LinkedIn and write me directly. We actually are looking for many people, so feel free to get in touch.
Perfect. Thank you so much for being with us on Plus 49.
Thanks for having me.
Plus 49. Ask a German.
So one thing I noticed in Germany is that every now and then Germans will say, okay, let's have something herzhaftes. And I always had a feeling I understood what they meant, but not really 100% because usually it's not just sweet. It's not something spicy. It's not something salty. So when they say the way they say it, always makes me feel like I want to eat something that my grandma cooked and I want to feel cozy, but I don't know how to describe it. So what is this? What does it mean? Have something herzhaftes. So if a person asks you, should we have something herzhaftes? Like what restaurant or place should you book?
I think you already have a good grasp on what herzhaft means. Because I think a lot of Germans would also describe it as some kind of comfort food they know from their grandmas. But when it comes to actual taste, there's a bit more to it. If you hear a German say, ich brauche jetzt etwas Herzhaftes, you might picture them reaching for something meaty, greasy, or covered in cheese. And while that's not entirely wrong, Herzhaft isn't just about heavy food. At its core, it describes bold, savory flavors that are rich and deeply satisfying. It's the perfect contrast to süß or sweet, and it's what Germans crave when they have had one too many pieces of cake at a Kaffee and Kuchen gathering and need to reset their palate with something substantial and salty. But herzhaft isn't exactly the same as salzig or salty, or even deftig, which actually means hearty. While all herzhaft foods have a savory, umami-packed character, not everything salty is herzhaft. For example, a bag of plain salted chips wouldn't quite fit the description. Deftig, on the other hand, refers more to portion size and how filling a meal is. A light but flavorful soup can be herzhaft, but it wouldn't be deftig. So you can think of herzhaft as the sweet spot between bold, rich taste and satisfying comfort. Now, where should you go when you're in Germany and need something herzhaft? Here are some solid options. I think the most obvious place to indulge in your herzhaft cravings is a Bavarian Wirtshaus. These traditional beer halls are temples of rich, savory cuisine. If there's one dish that defines herzhaft, it's probably Käsespätzle, basically Germany's answer to mac and cheese. Think of soft, chewy egg noodles drowned in melted cheese, topped with crispy fried onions. It's creamy, salty, and pure comfort. Paired with a Schweinshaxe or a Weißwurst mit Brezen, and you've got a meal that's as herzhaft as it gets. But of course, Berlin's iconic Currywurst can also be counted as a herzhaft classic. Sliced bratwurst drenched in spiced ketchup and dusted with curry powder, usually served with a side of crispy fries, it's salty, savory, and a kind of street food that feels instantly satisfying. And if you're looking to satisfy your herzhaft craving at home, a simple yet effective option with no cooking required is the wonderful German Abendbrot. If you want to know more about this flavorful goodness, look into our older episodes. We've already covered it there. So basically, when Germans crave something herzhaft, they're looking for bold, savory flavors that hit just the right spot. Not just something heavy, but something rich, salty, and deeply satisfying. And in Germany, you're sure to never run out of delicious ways to satisfy that craving.
And that wraps up today's edition of Plus 49. Thank you so much to our guest, Georgi, for joining us and sharing his insights. Also, thank you so much, Marlene, for making this happen. And we hope you enjoy our conversation about life in Germany, upcoming events, and the inside scoop on how the Wahl-O-Mat can help you navigate the upcoming elections. Remember, if you want to stay up to date with all the latest headlines in English, please subscribe to our daily newsletter at morningexpresso.de. And if you love what we do, or you just want to share with us your insights, make sure to follow us on Instagram at plus49 for more expat stories, updates, and behind-the-scenes moments from the show. Thank you for tuning in, and hasta la próxima.